Hi, this is Karen Schomer, formerly of The Schomer Show. You're listening to WGXC Acra 90.7 FM.
Network, this is the news. This is the network. This is the news. This is the network. Network.
I'm Tom Rowe in Acra, and you've tuned into the WGXC Morning Show. And today we will hear about the Upstate New York Black Chamber of Commerce with co-founder Tony Gaddy talking with WOOC's Mark Dunley on the show. Plus, we'll hear a movie review from Janessa Hope McKay and her new show Slap of Reality on WGXC, plus the national headlines from the Public News Service and the local Better Weather from the Catskill Maker Syndicate. And it all begins after the local news, which is next. Stay tuned to the WGXC Morning Show.
This is the news. This is the network. Network. On waves controlled on air, in air, channel connection, and the moon turns to blood. A stream runs through. This is the network. Network. This is the news. This is the network. This is the news. This is the network. Network. This is the news. This is the network. This is the news. This is the network. Network.
Producer Throwing Snow draws inspiration and samples from nature, and we'll hear how random patterns can mesh together on the next Deep Threes. Plus music from Mark Borecka, Leslie Barber, and the Sound Carriers. Deep Threes, music beyond boundaries for a digital world.
Tune in to Deep Threes after the noon news on Monday at WGXC 90.7 FM.
Do you have 17 cents a day to support a platform for many diverse voices to have their say on the local airwaves? Just 17 cents a day, a monthly $5 recurring donation, can help keep local youth on the air at WGXC 90.7 FM. Your monthly sustaining support will keep the airwaves full of music from around the world and around the corner. WGXC needs 500 sustaining supporters to make sure there is one spot on the dial where the community can have access to its own airwaves. Make your pledge today at wgxc.org/donate and do your part to protect an important source of local news, information, and entertainment. With just 17 cents a day, you will do your part to protect your favorite frequency. Become a sustaining supporter today. Go to wgxc.org/donate now.
Wavefarm's WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Delmar Wellness Center of Alachua, New York. WGXC's sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. You too can become a sustaining supporter by going to wgxc.org/donate and designating an amount of your choosing. Thank you for your support.
We interrupt this broadcast to bring you a special news bulletin.
Stay tuned to this station.
Stand by for news.
Direct via satellite from our on-the-spot task force.
Good evening from our newsroom in New York.
This is
Daily News and Weather Report.
From the WGXC newsroom, this is the WGXC Hands-On Radio News Update.
I'm Philip Grant.
This is Tom Rowe. You can go to the newsroom at WGXC.org for more information about anything you hear here. Dwayne Crowes reports in the Daily Freeman that rising COVID-19 case counts and the emergence of the Omicron variant led Ulster County Executive Pat Ryan to declare a state of emergency on November 28th. The declaration will speed efforts in Ulster County to get testing supplies for local schools, businesses, and families, bolster available public health and medical staff resources, and, if necessary, to redeploy the workforce to support testing, contact tracing, and vaccination efforts. Quote, with COVID cases and hospitalizations surging and the emergence of a new and potentially more dangerous variant, we must step up our efforts to ensure the health and safety of all of our residents, unquote, Ryan said in the release. Quote, informed by real-time data and the advice of our team of public health experts, this emergency order is an important step to allow the county to respond rapidly and effectively in order to combat the virus, unquote. Active cases of COVID-19 have tripled in Ulster County in November. On November 26, Governor Kathy Hochul signed an executive order so hospitals can postpone elective hospital surgeries where they are at or below 10% of available staffed bed capacity. Coronavirus case counts in the Hudson Valley were already rapidly returning to last winter's levels before the news of the Omicron variant was announced on Thanksgiving. Read more about the story in the Daily Freeman.
Ted Rimsnyder is reporting for Columbia Green Media. COVID-19 has claimed its 84th victim in Greene County. On Tuesday, November 23rd, a 39-year-old woman with severe comorbidities died after coming down with the coronavirus. The unidentified woman was unvaccinated at the time of her death, according to the Greene County Public Health Department. Greene County Administrator Sean Groden said no additional information was made available about the woman. As of Wednesday, 64% of adults in Greene County have received at least one dose of a COVID-19 vaccine. There are 221 active positive cases in the county, according to the Public Health Department, with 92 positive cases recorded since November 20th. A total of 350 county residents are under quarantine, with 20 people in the county hospitalized with 20 COVID-related illnesses. As of Tuesday, the total percentage of cases in the county with positive results was 9.9%, with a seven-day rolling positive average in Greene County of 4.6%. You can read that full story in HudsonValley360.com.
Chris Bragg is reporting for the Times Union that Governor Kathy Hochul, November 24th, issued a press release stating she was signing a bill amending New York's legislative redistricting process. Republicans and conservatives cited the bill signing as an example of Hochul favoring a Democratic takeover of the redistricting process. Conservatives immediately responded with U.S. Representative Lee Zeldin, the presumptive Republican nominee for governor in 2022, saying that, quote, despite the people of New York voting a resounding no earlier this month on a constitutional amendment, which would have allowed legislative majorities to redistrict, Kathy Hochul circumvented New York voters by signing into law legislation to do just that, unquote. However, Jeffrey M. Weiss, a redistricting expert and adjunct professor at New York Law School, said the change simply clarifies a 2014 constitutional amendment that was passed by voters and which is governing a brand new redistricting process this year. For the first time, district lines are to be drawn by a 10-member bipartisan commission and not necessarily by the majority parties in the state legislature. But the 2014 constitutional amendment, Weiss said, was unclear about what would happen if the 10 members gridlocked and failed to take any vote on proposed lines. The 10-person commission now faces a January deadline to come to a consensus on a proposed plan, an outcome that's far from certain. In her message announcing the new law, Hochul wrote that the Democratic-sponsored bill served to clarify an oversight in the 2014 constitutional amendment. But if the commission deadlocks and cannot get at least 7 votes in favor of a plan, line drawing would fall to state lawmakers. For the first time in decades, Democrats control both houses of the legislature, as well as the governor's office. As a result, lines drawn by a Democratic legislature could further imperil the Republican Party in New York. Read more about the story in the Times Union.
Andrea Mako is reporting for Porcupine Soup. Interested parties turned out November 22nd for the first of two public hearings held at the former Durham Elementary School on the proposed Bosque subdivision. Approximately a dozen people spoke, the majority of them opposed to the project.
Many of the speakers took issue with the town board's October decision to issue a negative declaration under the state environmental quality review, thereby finding that the 95-acre subdivision will have little to no environmental impact. Margaret Doherty spoke on behalf of the community group Cornwallville Residents for Rural Preservation, saying the project will have, and I quote, significant negative impact, end quote, on land, wells, traffic, noise, light, wildlife, aesthetic, and historical value and community character, end quote. Boss Development of Hudson has submitted a proposal to the town of Durham to subdivide 95 acres of land that border Strong and Cornwallville roads. The project includes the construction of 12 high-end homes and a farming operation. Doherty said her organization over the past month has collected 271 signatures from Durham residents opposed to the subdivision. She told the board, and I quote, "We hope that as lead agency, you will finally address the concerns of the majority of our residents within the Cornwallville community," end quote. Patrick Saccone, chairman of the Durham Historic Preservation Commission, noted that the project footprint is larger than the core hamlet of Cornwallville. He said, and I quote, "and its area comprises a significant portion of the total area of the Cornwallville Historic District," end quote. Other speakers addressed issues ranging from traffic safety, light pollution, and noise. Cornwallville resident Jim Stone was the only person to speak in favor of Bosque. Stone said, and I quote, "There is a reason Durham is dying, because we won't allow change. Places that don't allow change, they die," end quote. A second public hearing will take place at 6 p.m. on December 11th in the former Durham Elementary School. The public may also attend remotely via telephone at 503-300-6830, conference code 114-503. And you can read more about this story at porcupinesoup.com.
Sarah Trafton is reporting for Porcupine Soup that volunteers from Community Action and Matthew 25 Food Pantry in Catskill fed approximately 250 families this Thanksgiving. Matthew 25 founder Patty Duchesne purchased 100 turkeys from Hannaford for her Thanksgiving baskets this year. Those baskets were distributed from the food pantry on November 20th. The baskets came with the ingredients for families to cook a Thanksgiving meal, including gravy, green beans, cream and mushroom soup, fried onions, potatoes, and rolls. Quote, "I have the best volunteers," unquote, Duchesne said. Quote, "I couldn't do it without them," unquote. Employees from Athens Generating Company helped package the baskets, and Creekside Catskill donated the potatoes, Duchesne said. Community Action's Thanksgiving dinners were mobile for the second year, with dinners being delivered along 18 routes throughout the county, Executive Director Florence Ole said. The meals were prepped by volunteers, including some students from Columbia Green Community College at the Catskill Elks Lodge. The dinners included turkey stuffing, cranberry sauce, mashed potatoes, sweet potatoes, gravy, and apple or pumpkin pie. Ole said, quote, "It's really a nice meal, and people are very appreciative," unquote. Read more about the story at porcupinesoup.com.
Patricia R. Doxey is reporting for the Daily Freeman. The Ulster County Legislature's Ways and Means Committee adopted budget amendments this week that eliminated a number of positions created as part of County Executive Pat Ryan's proposed 2022 budget. The amendments rolled back proposed salary increases for others. Altogether, the committee made nearly two dozen changes to the proposed spending plan before voting to send it to the full legislature for consideration. While the resolution to eliminate the communications specialist position narrowly failed, the committee did agree to reduce that salary by roughly $20,000. Minority Leader Ken Ronk first argued to get rid of the position, claiming it is more, and I quote, "brand building and self-promotion," end quote, for the executive than for communications with the public, end quote. The Walco Republican said, and I quote, "I don't think this is a necessary position for county government," end quote. The committee also voted to reduce the administration of the American Rescue Plan funds. Legislature Chairman David Donaldson said he will propose eliminating those jobs from the budget if Ryan's office fails to provide the legislature with the resumes of those who have been hired to fill the positions. Deputy Budget Director Chris Kelly said the Ryan administration is aware of Donaldson's request and it is under review. The committee rejected a proposal by Ronk to eliminate the newly proposed Commissioner of Mental Health position, as well as a proposal to increase to full-time an existing part-time position in the Human Rights Commission. The full legislature will vote on the 2022 spending plan on November 2nd. And you can read the full story in the Daily Freeman.
Natasha Vaughn Holdridge is reporting for Columbia Green Media that Friends of Taconic State Park have received permission from the New York State Office of Parks, Recreation, and Historic Preservation to build a small railroad track at the Copaig Ironworks National Heritage Area site in Taconic State Park. The old abandoned ironworks facility, established in 1845, is located within the park, said Jim Mankin, president of the Friends Group. In 2007, that site and 18 acres surrounding it were added to the State and National Register of Historic Sites. Friends of Taconic State Park repurposed the blast furnace and took remnants of the old facility to create a museum and a visitor center, Mackin said. Quote, we finally realized, gee, wouldn't it be wonderful if we could recreate some of the railroad story that was there, unquote, Mackin said. The train will hold 15 passengers and take them through the historic site on a 900-foot-long loop track. Quote, we're building the cars that will hold the tourists, which will look like ore cars that carried the iron ore, unquote, Macklin said. Quote, they're kind of trapezoidal in style, so people will sit in those as they ride and we talk about the history there, unquote. The group has so far raised $174,000 through private donors and is looking to raise a total of $366,400 for the project, Macklin said. Quote, if everything goes well, we'll have railroad ties and the actual rail itself ordered and delivered. And then as soon as we can in the spring, we'll start putting the ties down and the rails on top of it, unquote. After the track is complete, they will put the locomotive, which is currently being stored in a nearby barn, on the track. The project is expected to be finished next summer, and the train will operate from 2 to 4 p.m. on weekends, holidays, and from mid-May to mid-November. Read more about the story at HudsonValley360.com.
And that wraps up the WGXC Hands-On Radio News Update. For local weather reports, public meetings, and other community information, use the WGXC website, WGXC.org. From the WGXC newsroom, I'm Philip Grant. Have a good day.
National Weather Service in Albany predicts Monday should be partly sunny with a high of 32 and a low around 23. Tuesday, there is a 20% chance of snow showers. Otherwise, it'll be mostly cloudy with a high near 32 and a low around 28. And then Wednesday, it should be partly sunny with a high of 38 and a low around 30 with a 50% chance of snow showers Wednesday night. You're listening to the radio, WGXC 90.7 FM Acre, Catskill Hudson Radio for open ears. You have tuned into all sorts of creative community voices on the radio at WGXC. On Monday, November 29th, including at 10 a.m., it's time to hop on the Afrosonic Taxi. Today with tracks from Damian Aracena, Flavia Cole, and Say George, among others. Then at 11 a.m., it's time to play favorites with Brendan Donegan. He's live from the WGXC Hudson studio with an all-blues show today. At noon, after the local news, it's time for the Deep Three show, with tracks from today from Lisa Gerard, Nimi Jarvi, Leslie Barber, and others. Vital Weekly at 2 p.m. has new music from around the world, including tracks today from Judith Berkson, Paulina Ozarek, and Gigi Mathen, among others. At 7 p.m., lawyer Art Heitzler is the guest on the Law and Disorder show, and then it's time for some music for the masses at 8 p.m. from Neva Wartell on the radio at WGXC 90.7 FM.
To get a local event mentioned on All Together Now, go to WGXC.org and click on Add an Event at the top of the page, and copy and paste the information about your event in the boxes. Let's all get involved in our community. See what's going on at WGXC.org. In the community calendar.
Recent work from Stephen Mark Klein is on display at the 510 Warren Street Gallery in Hudson, beginning Friday, December 3rd, and continuing through Sunday, December 26th. The show is called Berkshire Borderlands, and it's a series of prints and watercolors from Stephen Mark Klein, with an opening on December 4th during Hudson's Winter Walk. This is one of the many events on the WGXC community calendar online at wgxc.org. WGXC and Art Oh My welcome Phil Klein's Unsilent Night back to Ghent this year. WGXC will broadcast Phil Klein's Unsilent Night from Art Oh My in Ghent. The event is from 5:30 to 7:30 p.m. on Saturday, December 4th. You can participate at Art Oh My. You're encouraged to bring a mobile phone, especially one with external speakers, or a boombox with a functioning tape deck. If you can't be there in person, you can tune in on the radio at WGXC 90.7 FM. That's Unsilent Night from Phil Klein at Art Oh My and on the radio at WGXC, Saturday, December 4th, 5:30 to 7:30 p.m.
Hello and welcome to the better weather for Monday, November 29th. We are 91.2% of the way through the year, 22 days left until winter actually starts. That's right. And early this morning, we see 25 degrees in Queechy Lake and 31 degrees in Annandale on Hudson. Some lake effect sprinkles will fall through the day. A high of 38 is expected at 2 p.m. Winds kick up around midday, making it feel rather cold. Overnight temperatures fall to 22 degrees. Then a high of 39 happens tomorrow around 2 p.m. Still a little windy. 28 degrees overnight takes us into a cool Wednesday with highs in the lower 40s. Friday looks like rain. Hottest temperature expected this week is 40 degrees. The coldest temperature expected this week is 21 degrees. For those of you daring enough, today's tide schedule is low tide at 4:43 a.m., high tide at 10:18 a.m., low tide again at 5:04 p.m., and high tide again at 10:18 p.m. Today's river temperature will be 39 degrees, which gives any unprotected person falling in about a half hour till exhaustion or unconsciousness sets in. Sunset today will be at 4:13 p.m. and sunrise tomorrow will be at 6:59 a.m. Looking way up, we see that on the sun, an equatorial coronal hole is releasing a plasma stream that is due to collide with Earth on Friday. Solar wind speed is currently 364 kilometers per second at 6.2 protons per milliliter. Radio propagation conditions are currently poor for daytime and fair for overnight. The 24-hour predicted KP index is 4, unsettled. The current sunspot number is 53. And this has been the Better Weather, brought to you by the Catskill Makers Syndicate.
WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Peter Meyer of Hudson, New York. WGXC's sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. You too can become a sustaining supporter by going to wgxc.org/donate and designating an amount of your choosing. Thank you for your support.
Listen to what the flower people say. Listen, it's getting louder every day.
Just relax. Here we go. I've been so long alone.
Well, I got a seat in your arms, wrap me up in your hand, a violent fever calm, finally just relax. You know the dream was cold and hard.
I was in your arms.
Let's dream walk hand in hand.
I was in your arms.
All right. I got a seat in your arms, wrap me up in your hand, a violent fever calm, finally just relax.
He's a fine figure of a man and handsome too. With his eyes upon their secret places, he liked to learn new. Still, he knows who and where. Got all the things you need and some that you will never. Could you make him sound like frozen food? His love will last forever. Still, he knows what you want and what you don't allow. Supposed to be, and I know that this will hurt you more than it hurts me. He's acting innocent and proud, still you know what is after. Like a matted dog with his paws up, while we are dying after. In his turquoise pajamas, in his motorcycle hat, I hope you're happy now, 'cause you soon could pay that. Well, I knew him well, I know now, never loved you anyhow. And I hope you're happy now. Well, I knew then what I know now. I never loved you anyhow.
Bartender, let's make it a double.
I thought it was you with your optimist view of the club. And how it's always another day, just after 12 o'clock struck. You said now I only want you, so I don't have to promise. Whispered all the crimes of Paris. You're not the girl next door or a girl
Stiff as hair lacquer. It's hard to discover now he's in love with her. It was a way of getting her own back. He never did anything she couldn't do on her own. You're good as your word, and that's no good to her. You better leave that kitten alone. The cigarette girl and the sizzle hot pants. All the words of love seem cool and crass when you're tough and transparent as army glass. You're everywhere, girl, in an everyday mess. Who paid for the crimes of Paris? Who paid for the crimes?
You're listening to The Morning Show on WGXC 90.7 FM.
Dr. Anthony Fauci explained a little bit to NBC's Lester Holt this weekend about the new Omicron COVID-19 variant.
Well, it has a constellation of mutations, Lester, around that spike protein, which would be strongly indicative that this will be highly transmissible and might, in fact, escape some of the immune parameters, such as monoclonal antibodies and the convalescent serum and plasma when people recover, and likely even some protection from the antibodies that are induced by vaccination. So we're taking it very, very seriously. It's spreading really quite rapidly in South Africa, and then we're seeing cases popping up in countries around, particularly when there's been travel from South Africa or Southern African countries to other places like Israel and places like that. And for that reason, the president decided prudently to put the travel restriction on not only to South Africa, but to seven other countries that border South Africa.
Is what you're seeing right now the kind that keeps you up at night?
You don't want to frighten the American public, but when something occurs that you need to take seriously, you take it seriously and you do whatever you can to mitigate against that. I mean, I'm saying this absolutely clearly, that if ever there was a reason for unvaccinated people to get vaccinated, and for those who have been vaccinated, when your time comes up to go and get a booster shot, because even though there may be some diminution, and we don't know that, in the protection against the vaccine, certainly to be vaccinated and boosted is always better than not to be. So that's the first thing. The second thing is what the president has decided to do. He's taking it very seriously, and that's the reason for the restrictions from travel from certain countries.
You talk about the booster shots, then the renewed importance of booster shots. How much edge do they give you?
The booster shots give you a very, very important edge. If you look at the level of these protective antibodies following the peak response after two doses and compare the level following the peak response after the third booster dose of an mRNA, it's multiple times higher after the third shot of an mRNA.
WGXC?
Would you like to do a show on WGXC?
Would you like to do a show on WGXC?
It'd be about
chocolate pigs.
She's obsessed.
see nice pig.
Chocolate pig.
Awesome.
All the way down.
I turned it down.
Only dogs can hear.
Burn his...
I turned it down. Do it.
Did you hear that?
No.
Next, we have an interview from
WOOC.
To learn more about this program, the Sanctuary for Independent Media, visit us online at mediasanctuary.org.
We're joined today by Tony Gaddy, who is the co-founder and president of the Upstate New York Black Chamber of Commerce. Tony, what does the New York Black Chamber of Commerce Upstate do? What's sort of your mission?
Yes. So we are a business membership advocacy organization, really primarily focusing on this, what can we do to build up stronger Black-owned businesses throughout our communities. We focus on five core pillars with our work, advocacy being first and foremost, because in order for us to build our businesses, we need to be better informed, represented in terms of some of the key components where our businesses and our communities need the resources. Our second pillar is access to capital, because we all know capital can't run a business without it. But we also have a lens towards capital beyond just money. We talk about human beings, people being our number one resource. So human capital is just important. The relationships we focus on, in terms of building our network and our growth, is very important on establishing those human relationships that define business. Our third core pillar would be government contract procurement, assisting our businesses with becoming MWB certified so they can compete for some of the government contracts that can help their businesses grow exponentially. Our fourth pillar is entrepreneurial training and technical support. Providing support for our business owners in terms of business plans, marketing, branding, and the other soft skills that sometimes business owners also need. And then our fifth pillar is chamber development. And for us, chamber development means, literally developing our chamber so that we grow. And the better we become as an organization, the more we can serve, the better we can serve. And also, because we are an upstate chamber development also means what can we do to build our organization in the other cities that we represent throughout New York State, Buffalo, Syracuse, Rochester, and heading south, Hudson Valley region is, part of our market as well. So chamber development kind of takes on a broader scope for us sometimes.
Now, starting a new business is always a challenge for everyone. What are there some unique challenges that Black-owned businesses, face in trying to, get off the ground and prosper?
Absolutely. Just lastly, before I answer that question, just to also mention that we are part of a larger organization called U.S. Black Chambers, which is our national leadership based in Washington, D.C. So, we're one of approximately 150 U.S. Black Chamber affiliates throughout the country. We also have a Canadian Black Chamber and six affiliate chambers over in Africa, where we also have established a presence as well. As far as the challenges we face, again, going back to our pillars, I think is probably the best way to answer that question. Often our unique needs around access to capital and other resources, the conditions in our communities where having our voices heard is critical. So sometimes just having that representation is one of the challenges. Access to capital, we're constantly fighting for more resources, more opportunities, better relationships with banks, credit unions, and other financial institutions so that we can apply and receive at least an opportunity to receive funding from banks and credit unions. That's critical for our businesses. Sometimes the challenges within our communities, because of the socioeconomics, they don't always lend to businesses being able to open up in the communities that they would like to. So we have to also deal with the quality of life issues sometimes, where we want to set up our businesses in our communities. We have to be able to make sure that we set them up for success. And so when communities, for whatever reason, intentional or otherwise, have not been properly invested in and supported, sometimes those are aspects of successful businesses too. if the community is kind of on the fringes of being supported by its city, whether it be a history of redlining, government, some aspects of government not being as supportive. Just those are things we have to be very mindful of when it comes to our challenges that we face as Black business owners.
Now, you mentioned, Redline, which I've mainly been familiar with on the housing issue. But I'm sort of curious, has the government put together any special funding pools or grants to assist, Black entrepreneurs, particularly in the disadvantaged communities, recognizing that the banks often do not want to lend there?
We've started to see a little bit more along those lines in terms of some of the opportunities and some of the challenges we face. Oftentimes, these issues are kind of at the whim of whoever is in charge at the moment. But, over recent months, we've seen significant moments. For example, the Minority Business Development Agency becoming a permanent agency with the recent signing of the Infrastructure and Investment and Jobs Act. That is a critical moment for Black business owners, minority business owners as well, to have that agency become permanent. That's going to go a long way in terms of the opportunities for minority and Black owned businesses. So we're happy to have been a part of that with U.S. Black Chambers and our other national partners, including the U.S. Hispanic Chamber, the Pan-Asian American Chamber, National Urban League, and many others who really fought hard for the MBDA to become permanent. So that's one significant moment. Also, there was some legislation that we were a part of with the Responsible Business Lending Coalition to get the Truth in Lending Act passed, which basically requires financial institutions, fintech companies, to be more transparent in how they market and utilize the word rate, so that business owners have a clear understanding as to what they are, what the terms and conditions are when they borrow money from fintech companies and other alternative financing, I guess is the best phrase to use when it comes to this legislation. And I believe that legislation is now reached the federal level. Congresswoman Nydia Velasquez and I believe Senator Menendez have put forth some legislation called the Small Business Lending Disclosure Act. So similar requirements that we're looking for in terms of transparency, so we can reduce the predatory lending that sometimes our business owners are vulnerable to because they don't have access to traditional capital.
Okay. So, Tony, we're unfortunately about running out of time. So I'm going to ask a two-part question, answer it in the last 2 minutes. One, okay. A number of us are sort of curious what's going on with the South End and the $200 million for this Port of Albany, since 35% of that's supposed to benefit, disadvantaged communities. And then second, how would it benefit a Black business to join your group, and how do people get information?
Well, the Port of Albany project is obviously just huge for the city of Albany. We do believe that there are going to be opportunities for marginalized communities and people of color who are looking to get into an exciting new industry with offshore wind. So we are very much looking forward to working with the port, Mr. Hendricks, board chair Georgette Steffens. I'm not sure if she's the board chair, so forgive me if I get her title wrong, but the city of Albany, and making sure that, we do inform people that these opportunities are coming, so that these are good paying jobs. And so we're going to look forward to working with the city to get that out there. As far as the organization, I think it's very important that Black businesses have representation. In order to have strong Black businesses, in order to have strong Black communities, you need strong Black businesses. And in order for us to have strong Black businesses, we need strong Black chambers to represent them, to make sure that they do have access to opportunities and resources and other things that will allow them to build their businesses and to work from within, to hire people in the community so that those dollars can circulate. Can't have community development without economic development. And so our organization, that is what we focus on. So it's very important that business owners have a voice
Tony Gatti, Upstate New York Black Chamber of Commerce, usnybcc.org. This has been Mark Dunley for the Hudson Mohawk Radio Network.
That interview was from
WOOC.
To learn more about this program, the Sanctuary for Independent Media, visit us online at mediasanctuary.org.
Janessa Hope McKay's new show, Slap of Reality, debuted on WGXC on Sunday, November 28th, and it included lots of music and some talking and a movie review.
I want to talk about a recent movie that came out, King Richard. Now, this movie is about Venus and Cerulean... This movie is about Venus and Serena Williams' father, Richard. He was the one who had faith in them from the beginning, you know? He was the one who helped them really get on their way to where they are now. You know, I loved the movie. I was a little skeptical because it was a little long, but I love documentaries and I love like biopic movies, and this was great. Will Smith did play Richard. He was great. Phenomenal. Demi Singleton played Serena. Phenomenal. Sanaa Sidney played Venus, excuse me. Phenomenal. Layla Crawford played Lindrea. Danielle Lawson played Isha. And Michaela Lachey Bartholomew played Yetunde Price. Now let me tell you, Michaela Bartholomew, she is great. She's beautiful. All these girls are beautiful. Demi, Sanaa, Layla, Danielle, Michaela, beautiful girls. And they did phenomenal matching them up to, you know, Venus, Serena, and the rest of the sisters. It was great. I love that these young black girls are getting their start in, you know, the movie industry in Hollywood. And I just hope they stay protected and they stay, you know, on a good path. Because that movie was great. I went with Nani. Shout out Nani. And it just really makes you see who Richard was. Because I know in the media, and I know before this movie was even talked about, Richard had like a bad rap in the media. You know, they were saying he was too hard on Serena and Venus, and he was this and he was that. But at the end of the day, his intentions were really pure, and he just wanted his daughters to be the best they could be. And they sure enough were. Okay? He was the one telling Serena, you're going to be one of the greatest in the world. And what is she? One of the greatest in the world. Okay? So, yeah, if you have time, if you want to go see it, go see it. King Richard. I went to the movie theaters in Hudson, Spotlight Cinemas. I know it's on HBO Max, too, but I really, really liked it. I think they did a great job showing how dynamic their family was and how determined Serena really was and how down to earth they all were. You know, I've always loved Venus and Serena because, shout out Nani, she's always loved them and she loves tennis. So I've always watched them and I've always known who they are. So it was really cool to see, you know, a movie version of their life. And I think they deserve it. And I think this was needed at least for their family so they could get their side of the story out. Because I know media just wants to get their stories heard, their headlines out there, and they want to make some money. You know, not a lot of media is out there to help people. You know, they're out there to spread rumors and they're out there to, you know, just cause a lot of drama in people's lives. But I think this movie was, if I'm giving it a rating, 10 out of 10. But I do want to say RIP to Yetunde Price. She was unfortunately shot and killed in 2003. She was just sitting in her car and, you know, it was like a drive-by and shit. It was unfortunate. But, I just want to say RIP to her. And it's just unfortunate because the killer was released in 2018. And the way that Serena found out was 10 minutes before a tennis match. So I can only imagine how heavy and how disheartening that can be when you're about to go play a really important tennis match. But, you know, that's just a little peek into their lives and how much they actually did go through. So Yeah. Shout out Serena and Venus Williams. Shout out Richard. And shout out King Richard, the movie, because that movie was great.
You have tuned into all sorts of creative community voices on the radio at WGXC. On Monday, November 29th, including at 10 a.m., it's time to hop on the Afrosonic Taxi, today with tracks from Damian Aracena, Flavia Coel, and Say George, among others. Then at 11 a.m., it's time to play favorites with Brendan Donegan. He's live from the WGXC Hudson studio with an all-blues show today. At noon, after the local news, it's time for the Deep Three show, with tracks from today from Lisa Gerard, Nimi Jarvi, Leslie Barber, and others. Vital Weekly at 2 p.m. has new music from around the world, including tracks today from Judith Bergson, Paulina Ozarek, and Gigi Masson, among others. At 7 p.m., lawyer Art Heitzler is the guest on the Law and Disorder show. And then it's time for some music for the masses at 8 p.m. from Neva Wartell on the radio at WGXC 90.7 FM. Thank you.